Welcome to the Deep Dive, everybody. You know, today we're going deep into the world of information security.
Ooh, exciting.
I know, right? But specifically, we're going to unpack what makes a successful information security program.
Okay.
And we're using the CISM certification's Domain 3 as, like, our guide.
Makes sense.
So some of you might be thinking, wait, CISM.
Is this, like, just for the techie people?
Exactly. But honestly, not at all. Right. Whether you're, you know, running a business or managing a team or even just like wanting to keep your own data safe.
Mm.
Understanding these principles is like seriously powerful. It's like a secret weapon.
Oh, absolutely. Think about it this way. Every organization, even every single person,
yeah,
has information, these assets that need protection.
Yeah, totally.
Like it could be anything. Customer data, financial records, your photos, emails.
Important stuff.
Exactly. And a strong information security program, it's like having a blueprint.
Okay.
For building up like a strong defense around all that important stuff.
So where do we even start with that? I mean, I'm picturing like a giant complicated blueprint and I'm already a little intimidated.
Oh, I get it. It can feel a little overwhelming.
Right.
But it doesn't have to be.
Okay, good.
The key is starting with a structured approach.
Yeah, okay.
Domain 3, you know, it really emphasizes aligning your security program with what your business goals are.
So it's going to be tailored.
Yes. So you're tailoring your policies, your procedures, those controls to like really fit what you need and your risk profile.
Can you give us an example? Like, how does this actually work?
Totally. Let's say you're an e-commerce company, right?
Yeah.
Your main goal is to provide a safe online shopping experience that people can trust.
Right, make people feel comfortable shopping.
Exactly. So your security program, it might prioritize things like robust encryption.
Oh, okay.
So you're protecting customer data during those transactions, right?
Mm.
And maybe multi-factor authentication to prevent people from getting into accounts that aren't theirs.
Yeah.
And then you'd also want to do those regular security assessments.
Right. So you're constantly checking for vulnerabilities.
Exactly. Finding those weak spots.
So it's not just like a one and done, like check the box kind of thing.
No, it's ongoing. It has to be.
What about organizations that have like super sensitive data? Like, healthcare providers.
Oh, yeah, good point. In healthcare, you know, patient privacy is a huge deal.
Absolutely.
So naturally, their security program is going to focus on things like HIPAA compliance.
Right, right. And making sure those electronic health records are like really locked down.
Yeah, secure storage is key. And then you've got to have strict access controls too.
Oh, so only authorized people can see the sensitive stuff.
Exactly. So it really is all about tailoring the program to what each organization needs and the risks they face.
Okay, I get it. It's like a custom fit security suit.
Yeah, that's a good way to put it.
But how do we go from that tailored approach to like an actual plan?
Ah, that's where the magic of security architecture comes in.
Okay, tell me more.
Security architecture. Think of it as the blueprint. It's the framework for how you design, implement, and manage all those security controls.
So it's like a master plan.
Pretty much. And it considers everything. The data you're handling, the systems you use, the potential threats. It's very thorough.
Okay. Starting to get the bigger picture now. So we move from that general idea of just protecting stuff to a concrete plan.
Yes. With that defined architecture.
Got it. Can we like walk through a real world example just to see how it works?
Sure. Let's say you're a financial institution.
Okay. High stakes.
Definitely.
Yeah.
Your security architecture might have like multiple layers of defense. Firewalls to block unauthorized access. Intrusion detection systems to keep an eye out for anything suspicious.
Okay. I'm seeing the layers.
Right. And of course, data encryption to protect that sensitive customer info. Both when it's moving and when it's just sitting there.
So it's like building a fortress, but with like digital moats and walls.
Exactly. Each one designed to stop a different kind of attack.
Okay, cool. But how do we make sure those defenses are actually working?
Well, that's where those security controls come in. They're the mechanisms we put in place to like enforce our security architecture.
To make it all work.
Yeah. And they have to be tailored too, just like the overall program.
Okay, so we've talked about aligning with business goals, tailoring those controls, thinking about specific industries.
Right. It's a lot to think about.
But what about actually putting those controls into action? What types are there?
Well, there are three main types. You've got technical controls, administrative controls, and physical controls.
Oh, okay. Break it down for me.
Technical controls are your tech safeguards, like firewalls, intrusion detection systems, antivirus software.
Okay.
Then you've got administrative controls. Those are the policies and procedures, like how you manage passwords, access rules, and what to do if something bad
Like
happens.
the rules of the game.
Exactly.
Got it.
And last but not least, you have your physical controls. Those are like the actual physical things protecting your assets. Security cameras, locks,
Oh,
badges.
right. So we're talking about digital defenses and then like real world security
You
too.
got it. It's a holistic approach covering all the bases.
But even with all that in place, there's one thing we haven't talked about yet, right?
I think I know what you're getting at.
The human factor.
You're exactly right. Because technology and policies, they're only as good as the people using them.
That makes sense.
That's why training and awareness are so important.
Yeah, you got to educate people about the risks.
Totally. They need to know how to spot those threats and make smart decisions.
So we're not just building walls, we're giving people the knowledge to defend themselves.
Exactly.
It sounds like a lot to juggle.
It is. But the goal isn't to build this perfect, impenetrable fortress. That's not realistic.
Yeah, that's true.
It's more about managing risk. You want a comprehensive and adaptable program that can protect what's important.
This has been a great overview, really helpful for understanding how to approach this whole security thing.
Glad to hear it.
But I feel like we've only scratched the surface,
Oh
right?
yeah, definitely. There's so much more to explore.
What are some of the like more advanced things that organizations need to consider?
Well, one important concept is the principle of least privilege. It's all about making sure people only have access to what they absolutely need for their jobs.
Oh, okay. So limiting the damage if something does go wrong.
Exactly. Then there's defense in depth, which is all about layering those security controls.
Multiple lines of defense.
Yeah, if one fails, you've got backup. Think of it like a castle with multiple moats and
I
walls.
like that. Makes it feel more manageable somehow.
And then, of course, you have emerging threats and technologies.
Oh, right. That's a whole other challenge. How do organizations keep up with that?
It takes constant vigilance, constantly adapting. They need to stay informed about the latest threats, vulnerabilities, all of that.
So they can update their defenses.
Exactly. It's a never-ending battle, really.
But a necessary one, I guess. Because the stakes are pretty high, right?
Absolutely. A successful cyber attack, I mean, it can be devastating. Financial losses, reputational damage, disruption of services, even national security threats.
Wow. Okay. Yeah. That puts it into perspective.
It's a big deal.
So before we move on, I want to ask our listeners something. Think about your own digital life. What are your most valuable information assets?
And what are you doing to protect them?
That's a great question for everyone to consider, because a lot of what we've talked about today applies to you too.
Your personal digital life is just as important.
Exactly. And it's something we'll be diving into much deeper after the break. We'll talk about the threats individuals face and give you some practical tips. So stay tuned.
Welcome back to the Deep Dive. You know, before we jump into personal cybersecurity, I think it's worth taking a closer look at the information assets we're all trying to protect.
Okay, yeah. What are we really talking about here?
Right, because it's easy to get like lost in the weeds with firewalls and all that techie stuff.
For sure.
But we got to remember, those are just tools. The real goal is safeguarding the information itself.
Right. So going back to our fortress analogy, what exactly are the crown jewels inside?
Oh, good point. Those information assets, they can be a whole bunch of things. I mean, the obvious ones like customer data, financial records, intellectual property.
Makes sense.
But then there's also the less obvious stuff. Strategic plans, internal communications, even a company's reputation.
Oh, right. Damage to that can be huge.
Absolutely. And for individuals, it's things like your photos, emails, those social media accounts, health records.
Anything digital that's valuable or that could be used against you.
Exactly. And the tricky part is these assets aren't just sitting still. They're constantly changing, moving between systems and devices.
Oh, yeah. With cloud storage, mobile apps, social media.
Right. It's a lot to keep track of. Our information is basically scattered all over the digital world, makes it tough to protect.
Yeah, it
Yeah.
does. It's like trying to secure a fortress with 1,000 doors and windows.
That's a good way to put it. So, how do we even start to figure out what's most valuable and vulnerable?
Good question.
Well, that's where a risk-based approach comes in.
Okay.
It's about figuring out which assets are the most critical, what the biggest threats are, and then, prioritizing your efforts.
So focusing on the most important stuff first.
Exactly. Like, let's say you're a small business owner. Your customer database, that's probably one of your most valuable assets.
Right.
Yeah.
Let's have some sensitive information.
Exactly. Names, addresses, credit card numbers. Cyber criminals would love to get their hands on that.
So you'd want to put extra security around that database.
Yep. Things like encryption, access controls, regular backups, all that good stuff.
Makes sense. You're not going to spend all your time protecting your old company picnic photos if your customer data is wide open.
Exactly. It's all about priorities.
Yeah.
But even with that approach, I mean, the threat landscape is just huge.
Yeah, and constantly changing. How do we know what to worry about most?
That's where threat intelligence comes in.
Okay.
It's about gathering information on those potential threats,
Yeah.
understanding their tactics, what they're after.
So we can build a good defense.
Exactly. It's like having a team of spies gathering intel on the enemy.
Oh, I like that. Knowledge is power.
Absolutely. So we've identified those valuable assets. We're gathering intel on the threats.
What's next?
Well, next up is putting those controls in place, those technical, administrative, and physical ones we talked about earlier.
Right.
But we don't just want to throw up random defenses. We need the right ones for the specific threats we've identified.
Like a game of chess, strategically placing your pieces.
Exactly. And just like chess, we've got to anticipate the opponent's next move.
Stay one step ahead.
Right. Can I give you an example?
Yeah, please.
So let's say we figured out that phishing is a big threat.
Okay. Sneaky emails and
Okay.
stuff.
Yeah. So a technical control, maybe we set up an email filtering system.
Okay, to catch those bad links.
Exactly. And then administrative control, maybe a really good security awareness program. Teach people how to spot those phishing attempts.
Right, so they don't fall for them.
And then a physical control. Maybe we limit access to sensitive data on company computers.
Oh, okay. So even if someone clicks bad link.
The damage is contained. It's like a multi-layered defense system, right?
Yeah, I'm seeing the layers now, but we can't forget about the people involved.
You got it. People are both our biggest strength and our biggest weakness.
That's true.
We got to make them part of the solution.
Right, not the problem.
Exactly. It's not enough to just have tech and policies. We need a culture of security.
Ooh, I like that. Everyone working together, looking out for each other.
Exactly. But let's be real. Even with all that, breaches can still happen.
Yeah, nobody's perfect.
Right. That's why you need a good incident response plan.
Oh, okay. So it's not just about preventing attacks, but knowing what to do if one happens. You got it. The plan tells you exactly what to do, contain the damage, investigate, recover data, and prevent it from happening again.
Sounds complicated.
It can be, but a good plan makes all the difference.
This has been really insightful, breaking down all these different aspects of security.
Glad you think so.
But before we move on to personal cybersecurity, you mentioned the attackers themselves earlier.
Oh, right. It's important to understand who we're dealing with.
Yeah, who are these people? What motivates them?
Well, it can be anyone, really. You've got lone hackers, just curious or looking to make a quick buck.
Okay.
Then you've got organized crime. They're in it for the money.
Right, makes sense.
And then you have nation states doing espionage, sabotage, even cyber warfare.
Whoa, okay. Nation states. That sounds pretty intense.
It is. It's a real threat. And their motives can be all over the place. Political goals, economic goals, even personal vendettas.
So information security, it's not just about protecting data, it's about protecting our way of life.
You hit the nail on the head. And that brings us to personal cybersecurity, because it's not just governments and big companies being targeted anymore.
Right. Individuals are at risk too.
Absolutely. And that's what we're going to dig into next. We'll talk about the threats individuals face and how to protect yourself.
Welcome back to the Deep Dive. So, we've been talking about information security on like a big scale, right? Organizations, governments.
Right.
But now, I think it's time to zoom in a little. Let's talk about our own digital lives.
Absolutely.
Because we all have stuff we want to protect: photos, financial data, even just our privacy.
It's all important, and it's a good question. How do we protect that stuff?
Yeah, especially in a world where everything's connected.
Exactly. I mean, think about it. The line between our personal and professional lives is like super blurry these
Oh,
days.
for sure. We use the same devices for everything.
Right. Work, play. We access sensitive info on public Wi-Fi all the time. We share personal stuff on social media.
And all that creates vulnerabilities.
Right. Absolutely. Attackers are looking for any way in.
So we're carrying around these mini fortresses, but with way more entry points. What are some of the biggest threats out there for individuals?
Well, phishing is a huge one. You know, those emails, texts, social media messages trying to trick you into giving up your passwords or credit card info.
Yeah, those are sneaky. And then there's malware too,
Oh,
remember?
yeah. Those malicious links or downloads that can infect your device, they can steal your data, or even take control completely.
It's scary stuff. So we've talked about these threats in the context of organizations, but are the tactics different when they target individuals?
Well, the principles are the same, but attackers will often like customize their approach, you know, to exploit those specific individual vulnerabilities.
Okay, I see.
Like they might use social engineering, playing on your emotions.
Oh, right. Making you think a message is from someone you trust.
Exactly. Or they might tap into your desire for like free stuff or convenience.
Free software that's actually malware.
Yep. It happens all the time. So it's not just about knowing the technical stuff, but also understanding how attackers try to manipulate you.
So what can we do to protect ourselves? It sounds pretty complicated.
Honestly, a lot of it comes down to basics. Strong, unique passwords for every single account.
Okay, that's a good start.
Use a combination of letters, numbers, symbols, make them long.
I always struggle with remembering all of them, though.
I hear you. That's why password managers are a lifesaver.
Oh, right.
They can generate and store all those complex passwords for you.
So you only have to remember one master password.
Exactly. It's like having a digital bodyguard for your password.
I like that. What else? What are some other things we can do?
Well, be careful about what you share online. Don't post sensitive stuff like your address, phone number, birth date on public platforms.
Good point.
And think twice before clicking on links or opening attachments, especially if you don't know the sender. If something sounds too good to be true.
It probably is.
Exactly.
Okay, so it's about being careful and a little skeptical.
Absolutely.
What about our devices themselves? Any tips for securing our computers and smartphones?
Keep your software updated. Those updates often include security patches that fix vulnerabilities.
So attackers can't exploit them.
Right. And get yourself some good antivirus software. Make sure it's always running in the background.
So it's constantly scanning for threats.
You got it. And be careful with public Wi-Fi.
Oh, yeah. Those free hotspots.
They can be risky because they're often unsecured.
So someone could snoop on what I'm doing.
Exactly. Avoid accessing sensitive information, like bank accounts, on public Wi-Fi. Or consider using a VPN.
A VPN?
Yeah. It creates a secure connection so your data is protected.
Okay, like a shield.
Exactly. And speaking of protecting things, back up your data regularly.
Oh, right.
Use an external hard drive, cloud storage, or both.
So if your device gets lost or like hit with ransomware,
you're covered. You won't lose those precious photos or important documents.
This is all super helpful. But honestly, it's a little overwhelming. There's so much to think about.
I know. It can feel like a lot. But the key takeaway here is to be proactive.
Don't wait for something bad to happen.
Exactly. Take those preventative steps, stay informed about the latest threats, and you can seriously reduce your risk.
It's like building up your digital immune system.
I like that.
This deep dive has been incredible. We've learned so much about information security.
Me too. It's been a great conversation.
From protecting those big organizations to keeping ourselves safe online.
Because at the end of the day, cybersecurity is about awareness, vigilance, and protecting what matters most to us.
And that's our show for today. Thank you for joining us on The Deep Dive.
Until next time, stay safe out there in the digital world.
And keep exploring.